listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
One of my favorite matchups coming up this weekend, Baltimore on the road to face Buffalo. Two young, exciting quarterbacks. Let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Ken Weinman joins us, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, talking some Ravens football. How are you, Ken?
Good, man. How are you? Good morning.
Good. All right, before we get to this postseason and this game against Buffalo, take us back to this time where Baltimore was amid this COVID crisis. Games were being pushed around. They lost three in a row. You looked at an AFC and said, hey, listen, you don't lose too many games here. You're going to be out of the running. What was it like for this football team when they were going through what they were going through?
Well, it was definitely a tough time, and you know, they came out that they, I guess, had four different strains of the virus in the building, and Lamar Jackson was one of the players that caught the virus, so you didn't have him against Pittsburgh. And I think that at the time, you know, they fall to 6-5, and you realize at that point with the way the AFC looked that the Ravens are probably going to have to run the table to make the playoffs. And what's interesting is Lamar Jackson, who won the MVP last year, but didn't seem like the same guy so far this year. And we're not able to get as close to them as we were a year ago because we can't go in the locker rooms with coronavirus and everything. But he seemed to not be as loose and having as much fun. But not to wish COVID on anyone, and I hope he has no long-term ramifications, but him getting the virus has almost been a blessing in disguise for him. It let him take a step back, watch the game from a different perspective. And since he's come back, he's been the 2019 Lamar Jackson.
From the standpoint of Jackson's, you know, first 2 years in this league, one of the things that I kind of chuckled at was everybody saying, well, he finally won a playoff game, like 0-2 was like 0-11. But was that a fair criticism of Lamar Jackson's early years here in Baltimore?
I didn't think so. The first loss, remember, that was Joe Flacco's team, and he took over midseason. They go 6-1 down the stretch. He's the reason they get in the playoffs, but he wasn't even a finished product yet. They lose to the Chargers. And then the next year, that game, they should have beaten Tennessee, but they turned the ball over early, and the game plan went sideways. And Lamar, he had 500 yards of offense, but he didn't have a great game. But there were a lot of other issues in that game. But, yeah, there were two narratives about Lamar entering that game last week, is that he couldn't win in the postseason. He couldn't come back from double digits down, and so he killed two narratives in one game.
Right. We look at Josh Allen in Buffalo, and we saw a guy who ran the ball a lot, was once, you know, was a leading rusher on the team, but then had to change his game and has developed his game. What has Lamar Jackson developed in 3 years in Baltimore?
Well, he's a better passer than he was when he first got here. He can read defenses better now than he did when he first got here. I'll tell you what, the underrated thing about him is he's not a vocal leader, but he's a leader. Those guys love him. They'll kill for him. They respect him. And I think that, and also, you know, when you talk about him and his throwing, and I heard a stat this morning, when he's outside the pocket, he's third in the NFL in passer rating.
Yeah.
So it's like Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes are the only two guys ahead of him. So when you get him on the run and he throws, that's where he's at his most dangerous.
It's funny because I live here in Nashville, and after the game, I talked to a couple of my friends, and some of them were like, I was told he couldn't throw. I was told that they don't throw the ball. He was able to throw the ball occasionally against Tennessee and keep those drives alive.
Yeah, well, you know, they're going to make their bones with the running game. And he had over 100 yards rushing, but he can throw the ball. The problem is early, he had that horrible interception. And I don't
right.
know if he just, the guy in his face made him throw it wrong. Or he even admitted, and Lamar's an honest guy, he said that it was a horrible throw. He said he needs to throw that to the sideline. He threw it inside and it got picked off. But he made a great throw to Hollywood in the first half on their first scoring drive where they got a field goal. And they constantly use the horizontal passing game to hit Hollywood Brown, and he was on a milk carton for about 6 weeks with the Ravens, but they've unlocked him down the stretch, and he had another big game Sunday.
Well, the key going into the Tennessee game was stop Derrick Henry, let the defense do it, anything else. If you can do that, let's see where it plays out. What do you think is going to be the defensive key for against the Bills?
Well, it's completely different because the Bills don't run the football.
Right.
They'll do it to keep you honest, but, you know, their rookie Zach Moss is now out for the year, so it's just Singletary. It wouldn't shock me if Josh Allen is their leading rusher this coming weekend, but I think the goal is you got to you got to disturb Josh Allen. You got to get in his face. He, like Lamar, if you get him outside the pocket, you saw against the Colts, he made great throws. Last year they played and they blitzed him a bunch and dared him to beat him, and the Ravens won the game. You do that this year, he's going to pick you apart. So you got to pick your spots blitzing, and you're going to have to probably shade coverage, probably bracket Stephon Diggs, because he's had a monster year. He led the league in catches and yards.
What level is the Baltimore defense? I mean, we know historically they've had some of the best defenses in NFL history. The 2020 version of this defense, what's it like?
Well, they scheme their pass rush. They don't. I think Judon led the team in sacks with 6. They traded for Ngakoue. He really has not been a great fit. Pernell McPhee plays limited snaps but gets some pressure. But they don't really get a lot of pressure with their front four. But one thing that's interesting is, so Calais Campbell, who they traded for in the offseason, has had injuries, and then he had COVID. So, like, the game against Tennessee was the first game since the beginning of the year where he's been healthy. But Campbell and Derek Wolfe, who they signed as a free agent, Brandon Williams, and their third-round pick, Justin Matabike, have really improved that defensive line against the run. And then the back end. Last year you had 2 All-Pros in Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey. Now, Marlon didn't play well against the Titans, but Marcus Peters had a great game, and he had the pick at the end that basically sealed it.
This 5-game winning streak that they're on, yeah, it comes against, you know, Jacksonville, the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Bengals and whatnot. But is there a feeling like you mentioned earlier, there's a difference after a 3-game losing skid where COVID hits? But have they been able to sort of play differently, look differently than the success that they had early in the season?
Here's the crazy thing. Their running game, and it really didn't get going against Tennessee Sunday, but Buffalo is not good against the run, especially the perimeter running game, which is not a good sign for them because that's where Dobbins and Lamar make a lot of their hay. But their running game in the last 5 games of the season was better than it ever was a year ago when they set the record for rushing yards in a season. And then they finished the year with 400 yards against Cincinnati. You can say Cincinnati's no good, but how many teams rush for 400 yards against them this year? Their running game, and think about this, they lose their all-pro left tackle Ronnie Stanley for the year. They lose a Hall of Fame right guard in Marshall Yanda. He retires. The best blocking tight end in football, arguably Nick Boyle, out for the year. And yet they've gotten better running the football than they were a year ago.
We talked about what Josh Allen and Buffalo and the defense in terms of what the Ravens, is it just do the same kind of thing, do what you do best against what Buffalo does, the fact that they can't really stop the run? Or is there going to be a little bit more dynamic to their offense that we saw in Nashville?
You're asking about the Buffalo offense against the
Buffalo
defense?
The Baltimore offense against the Bills defense.
I think the Ravens are going to have a lot more success running the football against Buffalo. You saw Nyheim Hines have a lot of success on the perimeter last week. That's where the Ravens really, that's where they eat. J.K. Dobbins is probably going to have a lot of success against them. He's taken that running game to another level. Mark Ingram doesn't even play. He'll be a healthy scratch Saturday, assuming everybody else is healthy. They'll go with Dobbins and Gus Edwards mainly, Justice Hill third down back, and it'll mainly be J.K. and Lamar running on the outside, and I don't think the Bills are going to be able to stop that. The other thing, the Bills statistically are horrible covering the tight ends, so you could see a big game for Mark Andrews.
Ken Wyman, again, the Fan in Baltimore on the Ravens, 11-5, going to Buffalo this weekend to face the Bills. Ken, really good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Hey, no worries, anytime.
You got it. Ken Wyman on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. You know, when we look back at the 2020 season, when they make the video of all the highlights of 2020, that Ravens team in the wasn't quite midway, but it was a little after the midway point of the season, where they lost 4 out of 5. They lost to the Steelers, beat the Colts, and then had losses in consecutive weeks to the Patriots, Titans, and Steelers. And this is when COVID really hit. The Thanksgiving game, the night that they were supposed to play the Steelers, got pushed almost a week. And that was the dangerous part for Baltimore, because the AFC, and you didn't really know with a month left in the season what the playoff picture would really look like. But if you had told that team, hey, look, 11-5 is going to be the wild card setting, so you got to get to that, it was reasonable to look at the end of their schedule and say, okay, we've got very winnable games here. We're playing, you know, 2 games against the NFC East, which is bad, Jacksonville, which is terrible, Cincinnati without Joe Burrow. We got a tough Browns game. But still, we're not in a very good position, right? Like, we're not a very, you know, we're in a position where COVID is affecting us in a way where we can't just automatically guarantee wins. And yet they were able to turn it around, start winning some games, and start looking good. It's one thing to win games against weak opponents. It's another to be a threatening team. Baltimore going into the postseason was a threatening football team. I mean, I know, again, here in Nashville, that game against the Titans, there was a little bit of nervousness from a fan base that was confident enough in what the Titans were doing, but nervous enough that Baltimore was not a pushover team that just got into this thing. That they were a real threat. Lamar Jackson was a real threat. And when you watch that 48-yard touchdown run, that's why. That's the MVP form that you worry about. A guy that can cover that kind of ground that quickly. And Buffalo, for all of its things it does well, he's right. They don't stop the run very well at all. This is the top rushing team in the league, right? I mean, they're averaging nearly 200 yards on the ground per game. This is what they do. And again, they can throw if they need to. Lamar Jackson certainly is capable of doing that, but that's not what they do. And if you're Buffalo, that's going to be making you nervous. Now, you have the offense to sort of go head-to-head, go back and forth. But you've got to make sure that every time Baltimore gets the ball, they're not converting, you know, third downs, second downs with the legs of Lamar Jackson, who will likely be the leading rusher in this game as well, like he was during the regular season. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. We'll talk more about the NFL playoffs, the other three games on the slate, as we continue with Wake Up Call.